Dr. Wilkinson, faculty members, fellow students, it's a very humbling experience to face this great audience. Brother Clark told me this morning that there are more students here now than is ever here to a basketball game, and I think that's only because you can't get in. Last Saturday night, something happened in Salt Lake. I thought all of you were up there according to the way the streets looked. But I think this institution, and particularly that fine team, deserves commendation. They have a wonderful team. Today I want to make reservations for the tournament down here next month. I think they have a wonderful coach. I think Stan Watts is one of the choicest basketball coaches in the country. You have a wonderful athletic director. You have a fine student body, great faculty, a strong president. I think the president is a better president than he would have been senator anyway. So. Now I'll go back to the basketball team because last Saturday night, they should have, by all measuring sticks, been defeated. But I saw that game, and I think they're to be commended first because they made such a great comeback. And I want to congratulate the basketball team and their coach on that marvelous success. They're gentlemen. They were not tall and sportsmanlike, when even when they were behind 12 points, we thought they should have been beaten, but they didn't believe that. Now I want to say a word to the students in beginning. When we visit in different parts of the church, we meet many of your parents. And you can't imagine how happy they are to tell us that they have a son or a daughter at BYU. They say that as though they were saying we have a son or a daughter on a mission. I think they're just as proud that they have a son and a daughter here as they would be if they were to say we have a son or a daughter in New Zealand or Hawaii or Canada or New Mexico or Argentina. They're very proud of you here and they have a right to be. I'd like to see some of those students following the assembly for just a moment, if I could, to extend to you again their love. Carrie Ellsworth from California, Nancy Cottom, and others in whose home it's been my pleasure to stay. Now I want to start my remarks today by saying to you, particular students, and ask you a question. Where are you going? Sometimes one hardly knows where they're going. It's often that we don't know where we're going until we are nearly there. Many times a man or a lady does not know what occupation they intend to follow for many years. They may start out to be a druggist or pharmacist, a doctor, a lawyer, but they may end up something else. And that's all right. But may I ask you, where are you going? And if you can't answer that, I hope you can answer the next one. Are you on the right road? Now, if you're on the right road, it doesn't matter so much whether you know where you're going or not, because eventually you'll get there if you're on the right road. Yesterday, as I listened to some remarks that President Johnson made down in Kentucky, this remark was both interesting, but in a way frightening. Talking to the young people of America, he said, your task is different and more difficult than any that's gone before you. Do you believe that, that yours is more difficult than ours was, or than our parents and grandparents was? You inherit a world with great danger. We didn't inherit a world with great danger. You inherit a world with the greatest difficulties. But the promising destiny in history. Now listen to the next one. You may witness a rebirth of hope. You may witness a rebirth of hope. Or you may witness the ruin of civilization. Which will it be? Or you may witness the defeat of misery. Or you may witness the destruction of man. Yes, I believe that your task is more difficult than any that's gone before you. Now, you owe a great debt of gratitude to this institution. And you should make sure that you prepare yourself to pay that debt. One way in which you can pay the debt is to qualify yourself for great service to your fellow men, to your church, and to your country. I wonder if you're devoting yourself entirely to your task of acquiring an education. Do you go about it half-heartedly, or do you realize that that is your obligation? And then after you've acquired that education, you must not forget your debt to this institution and the church, because they've added much to your life. I think every student should realize that the tithing of the people, I could name you widows and poor people all over the church that's making great sacrifice to pay their tithing. They wouldn't think of not paying it. And the tithes of those people are going into this institution. Yes, even the future blessings that will come to you during your lifetime will in large measure be because of your training, your teaching, and your learning while you're at this institution. You owe a debt, and it'll take you a lifetime to pay it. Now, another way that you can pay that debt is to do everything in your power to encourage other students to do likewise and receive the many blessings that you're receiving. If you fail to do that, surely you cannot claim the payment of this debt. If you neglect to urge others to do likewise and to take advantage of the opportunities that you've had, then you're not paying to this institution the debt that you could pay. Probably one of the greatest wastes today among young people, not you, but some young people, is the waste of individual talent. And the individual ability and the failure to measure up to your potential. I wonder if you realize what is your potential. It isn't enough to just be an average or to do like others do. God intended you to be yourself. He blessed each of you with great talents and virtues, and each of you should try to develop within himself or herself those God-given virtues and talents and measure up to the highest possible potential. It would be a shame to waste those talents. May you say, as General MacArthur once said when he gave thanks to God, whom he said, has guided me through the shadows of death and who nerved me in my hours of lonely vigil and deadly decisions. You're going to make some very important decisions here. May God give you the same strength that he gave General MacArthur. Now, if you neglect to develop yourself to the fullest potential, you've truly sinned against God who gave you those virtues and talents, and you failed to magnify them. Let me encourage you to live such a life and build your faith so that it will be easy for you to live righteously. Sooner or later, we all find that it's easier to do right than to do wrong. It's as easy as an astronaut wears his silvery suit. May it be the armor of your soul against the forces of space. It is the armor of your spirit against the unseen. The church will mean everything to you. Not a place to prove yourself holier than others, but as a force for good in the world. You will never need to advertise your devotion, living it day by day, and even teaching it to your children is the best way to express it. Because whatever you write on the heart of a child, no waters will ever wash away. The sands may be shifted when billows are wild, the efforts of time may decay. Some stories may perish, some songs be forgot, but the record engraver time changes it not. Yes, this is a great institution, a church institution, if you please. Under the guidance and the direction of the general authorities of the church, therefore, we can take particular interest and pride in this institution. Never is a man or his son frozen in one level of learning, neither spiritually, economy, or in any field of human endeavor. Institutions like this make men free to rise to the highest potential and even beyond their own natural ability. Have you ever stopped to think for a moment, why is it you have it like you do, and so many others in the world your age have it like they do? We have a right to see in you potential leadership in generations to come. Remember that others have helped you push ahead. Therefore, you must not disappoint us. Nor should you ever be tempted to slight the wisdom of your forebears and depart from the religious training that you've received. Nor should you slip into the materialistic ideology, which many times is the root of the marble discomfiture of this age of spiritual crisis. Now, as you will grope for answers to life's problems, it's not unusual to thirst for words of guidance from an elder or from a wiser person, and then seek divine guidance from God Himself. I would advise you to look to the past and your forebears for such advice. As one great philosopher has said, "Hold fast to truth and transgress her not. If thou art a leader leading the multitude, strive after excellence, that thou might be without fault. Great is righteousness, and it's worth abiding. Wrongdoing has never brought its vengeance safely to port." Then the great philosopher who warns against intellectual snobbery, who said, "Be not arrogant about the knowledge and pride, about thy knowledge and pride, not thyself that thou art a man of learning. Take counsel from the unlettered as well as the learned. For the limits of art cannot be reached, and no artist is perfect in his excellence." Your life can be a wonder. Your life can be a miracle. When you betray this belief with disregard and disregard this knowledge, you will be punished. No, not by the courts, but by the effects of causes, and the punishments have never been unjust. Benjamin Franklin said, "I believe that the soul of man is immortal and will be treated with justice in another life pertaining to its conduct in this life." Yes, it will be demanded that you rise to the occasion. Talents like minutes have no neutral qualities. When used to good advantage, they produce ideas and results beneficial to yourself as well as others. When not used to good advantage, they produce something detrimental, and life may be charged with surprise and shock. There may be unrest come to you at times. We've all had it. And if so, it may be due to an unrecognized hunger of God Himself, which will not be denied. And when we find God, we find that which is within us, our own souls. There are two forces which influence us for better and more wonderful and abundant life. The first, I suppose, and the most important, is belief in God and in the just and last judgment, when every one of us will be called upon to account for what we did with God's great gift to us, our life. What do you intend to do with it? The other is probably our belief in an immortal soul. These two things give us the moral strength and the ethical desires for every action in everyday living. Your soul, yes, your immortal soul, it's the only one you'll have. Therefore, take good care of it. Yes, students, here now and those who will follow you, or the distilled essence of this school, for you are its product and the basis of its reputation. This school and any other institution can rightfully be judged by its graduates and its students. If there is anything lasting to be achieved by us as individuals and scholars, it must in most instances be reflected in you. If you are to win intellectual victories or make cultural advancements, it must be through your own mission and your belief in God. So the mission is yours after all, and yours alone. Therefore, please assume that responsibility. Plato once said of people that they should believe in the tradition of love, because through that every man becomes a poet. It is his ultimate in goodness. It gives peace on earth and calms the stormy deep. Only one who has such love can empty men of dissatisfaction and yet fill them with affection, can send courtesy and drive away discourtesy, can give kindness and drive away unkindness. It is such love that is the source of all our power and our all harmony. And above all, it makes us tolerant and lovely. The greatest exponent of such love as Jesus of Nazareth. May you magnify your own soul, your immortal soul. May you build your own life. Do you know where you're going? Or are you on the right road? May you avoid the pitfalls that can only lead to unhappiness and sorrow. There will be enough of them as it is, but somehow or other we cannot help without bringing on those that we can help. May God bless this institution. May it be prospered. May it be permanent. May it serve and grow and touch the souls and hearts of men and be a great influence in the world. And where you'll be in a few years depends largely on what you do now. God bless each one of you and those that will follow you. May He be with you tonight and tomorrow night, and as long as God shall give you life, I humbly pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.